It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A mochi moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win Unleashed, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Cavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only, the icon himself. You know what I'm talking about. It's Eric Holmes.
Hey, James. I'm here for more. I can't wait. I gotta get this going, brother. I gotta get into it. Let's get into it. Can it start now?
Yeah, you had a problem finding that mic for a second.
I mean, I just was so focused on the battle that I didn't realize I didn't have the mic in front of me.
You know what? I like the excitement. That's cool. Let's keep it going.
Let's go.
Because in today's episode, a relaxed, wiry bounty hunter with unmatched gunplay and a tragic past battles a towering criminal mastermind with steel trap cunning, a brutal fighting style owned on the blood of his enemies. In one corner, you have Spike Spiegel, a former syndicate assassin, turned bounty hunter and deadly martial artist and marksman, whose cool attitude hides a storm of lethal instincts. And in the other corner, oh, I can't believe this, you have the Kingpin, a criminal empire builder with immense strength, unbreakable willpower, and terrifying hand-to-hand combat skills, capable of defeating even super-powered foes. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And this battle, you don't believe this, it's never come up. Seriously,
ever.
I couldn't find
ever?
It.
Ever?
I did not find it. I did the Google thing. I did the ChatGPT thing. I did the Perplexity AI, Copilot,
wow.
Gemini, asked that weird guy who lives on the corner. You know what I'm talking about. No one has heard of this battle ever taking place. So yet again, the Who Would Win Unleashed show brings geek culture yet again another premier matchup, for lack of a better term.
That's what we do.
Legion of Audience.
That's what we do.
Eric, I gotta know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
All I can say is Eureka.
Wait, what?
That's Eureka. It? Eureka.
In what capacity?
Just like I see something great in front of us and I say Eureka.
Very cool. Very cool. I love the facial expressions, by the way.
If only they could see it.
Yeah, but no. It's too much. It's too much. You don't want people.
Can't see it, James.
You know what? I have tears coming down my face right now.
Eureka.
From the beautiful expression. There's nothing happening right now. I'm feeling nothing. Feeling nothing. There's many words I would use to describe today's battle. Actually, I think I'm going to go with unprecedented, because we have a street level kind of battle happening here, right? With two beings evidently without superpowers or what have you, but who kind of deal in like a superpowered world in different ways. So listen, when you have a crazy battle with superpowered worlds and people existing within them, you got to bring in a living, breathing superhero Eric, you know what I'm talking about.
Come on.
To be a judge on the Who Would Win show.
I'm seeing.
Making another appearance. It's celebrity soccer coach extraordinaire. It's influencer like no one's business. It's Brazilian dynamo come to life.
I'm just
coming up with words. I don't know. It's super califragilispecialidocious.
That's
right. It's the man with one name. It's Tadeo. Tadeo, welcome back to Who Would Win.
You know, I'm so excited to be here. And, you know, I claim from a celestial, another, I'm a being from another planet.
Let's go.
You know,
let's
so
go. Let's go.
I'm excited about judging these two normies. Because like in the planet I exist, we're all professional athletes with six pack abs and long flowy hair. So this is exciting to me. Two non-mutants.
to non-mutants, to non-metas, to non-powered beings, but who live in these crazy worlds. Wow. Listen, it's funny because I actually see a lot of similarities in Spike Spiegel and you, Tadeo.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I do. Both very cool people. Both badasses when they choose to be. But both with great personalities. People who are like mysterious, but you're kind of like, I want to hang out with that guy because something cool is about to happen. Why do you think you're so similar to that description?
You know, I think it's that bloodline. Like when you get that Brazilian blood flowing, you just can't control it. You know what I mean? It's like another planet. We're just powerful. Free.
It's powerful.
Thank you. It's freedom. It's like you're like a terrestrial superhero, but of kindness. You know what I mean? That's my superpower is kindness.
Now, are you saying Brazilian is a kindness is a Brazilian thing?
I think it is.
I'm going to disagree 100% with all not the Brazilians in the ring. Hold on. In the jiu-jitsu world, James, MMA.
Outside of the ring, because James, I don't know if you can see him, but he's in a gi right now. Him and Gracie were just training.
I'm a boxer and a kickboxer first and foremost.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Firearms is also cool. Weapons are awesome too, but jiu-jitsu was awesome. By the way, I love Brazilians. Brazilians are cool as hell. They're the only people I know who will beat your ass and be like, hey, let's go grab lunch.
And therein lies our uniqueness because we're savage in the best of ways and then we're homies, you know?
I gotta say, the other thing I love about Brazilians is that anything that happens to you that's negative, they take it personally if they're your friend.
Yes.
They're like, oh, wait, that happened? Let's go take care of it. Yeah. You know, whatever it is. You have like friends
always
for
got
life.
Your back.
Yeah.
Always, always, forever. And that's why I'm here hanging out with James and Eric because y'all are the homies.
There you go.
It's an honor to have friends. And for us, that's wealth. And in other countries, you know, like when I'm out of my college, the most billionaire, schmillionaire means nothing, right? Homies and happiness. That's my thing. Homies and happiness.
Well, I've also discovered with billionaires that as much money as they have in a fight, they can't win. Right. So they'd be like, hey, you know what? How much you want to pay me for not like, you know, choking me out right now? That's not a thing, by the way. That's a horrible thing to say. Eric's agreeing and he's a monster. I said it, but he's agreeing with it. Makes it worse from him. Now, today, listen, you've been doing a lot of training. You're known around L.A. You've kind of got, you know, the swagger, so to speak. What about this battle? Like, you know, I know they're like they're lower tiered powered, but they both have their intrigue. Are you more of like someone who would build a criminal empire? Because you do have that kind of, you know, look in your eye, like give it a chance. You're like, yeah, maybe I do want, you know, nice things in some ways that may not be ethical. Or are you more of that like loner who's kind of really cool, kind of, you know, goes to your own kind of way of doing things in life?
You know, And a true 50-50 that, because sometimes that allure, when you see that sports car, when you see that shine, that luck, it's just, you lust for it, right?
Yes.
I volunteer. I mean, people think I'm a coach. They're like, coach, why are you this? I'm like, dudes, if the players only know I'm volunteering like 20 hours a week. But so I always also like to create parity and do kindness and things that resonate with the community. So it's kind of, I want the best things for myself, you know what I mean?
Why not?
Right, thank you. But then I also want to help our people.
That's
so
right.
I'm kind Why of a hybrid. So I don't have a bias. When we're talking about Spike Spiegel or Kingpin, there's no bias coming to this battle.
Oh.
And me as a judge, I'm be impartial. Count on that.
Got it. You were smiling extra hard when you were talking about getting nice things, though. So I think you're leaning a bit more towards the criminal empire. By the way, I don't blame you, by the way. You know, there's been a number of criminal empires that have done good things in the world. I don't know. I'm just talking about it. Okay. We have a crazy battle. This is a little bit different for who would win because we have non-powered beings who are about to go at it. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's get this battle started. But before we do, let's go over the basics of a who would win match. And let me just pull those up. Because this is important. Here we go. But before we get to the battle, let's go over the basics of a who would win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the who would win match is a random encounter in neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. I'm going to be representing Spike Spiegel from the anime as opposed to the live action series. What version of the Kingpin will you be using? Will it be, you know, from the Daredevil live action series, from the comic books? What are you thinking here?
I'm doing the comic books. For sure. It's pretty dark, Kingpin's upbringing, so which I think will make sense as to how he became Kingpin. So I'm going from the comic books.
Oh, you're bringing up the upbringing. Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah, intriguing. Very cool. Yeah. All right, look, when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, battlefield removal, with no outsider interference being allowed. Remember, the bottom line in a who-would-win match is that for one side to get the win, their opponent must be somehow incapacitated for a minimum of 2 minutes where they pose no threat whatsoever. And before we get started, don't forget to leave the Who Would Win Show a 5-star rating and a fantastic written review wherever you download and listen to podcasts. All right. And now let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Eric, please give us the details for the Kingpin.
Let's do it. So I'd like to introduce you guys to Wilson Fisk, better known as the Kingpin. He's a towering mastermind of Marvel's criminal underworld. Yes, there is a criminal underworld, as we might know or might not know about. Don't let the business suits fool you. Beneath that tailored fabric is pure muscle and power. With zero fat and a strength to lift over 600 pounds, Kingpin has gone toe-to-toe with Spider-Man, Daredevil. I almost lost my headphones. I said toe-to-toe. Yeah, he's gone there with those toes, with Spider-Man's toes, Daredevil's toes, and the Punisher. Often coming out on top, using a brutal combination of street fighting, brawling, and grappling, his intellect is just as dangerous. People, Kingpin manipulates situations like a chess master. It's not checkers. I know it's been overused, but anyways, he also ensures every move weakens his opponent before the first punch is thrown. James.
Very cool. I love that description of Kingpin. And here are the facts for Spike Spiegel. Now, Spike Spiegel is a laid-back, chain-smoking, impossibly agile bounty hunter from the Cowboy Bebop anime. Formerly a feared enforcer for the Red Dragon Syndicate, Spike faked his death to escape that world, only to be constantly drawn back into violence. Trained in Jeet Kune Do, you know, Bruce Lee style, and a master of firearms, Spike's fighting style is a fluid, reactive dance between kicks, dodges, and sudden kill shots. He's dodged automatic fire, beaten armed assassins hand-to-hand, and disarmed enemies mid-attack. Whether free-falling through space or fighting in narrow hallways, Spike is calm, ruthless, and able to adapt on the fly. And now you have the facts on both opponents today. Do you have any questions before we get started?
Yes, I do. Can you give me a little breakdown? What does Spike Spiegel look like? Maybe we can get him on the screen.
Yeah, oh. Is he a strong guy? Is he buff? Now,
first of all, how dare you, Eric, not know about Spike Spiegel?
I know what he looks like.
Think of Spike Spiegel as an athletic
chain smoker. He's malnourished. I'm sorry.
As an athletic swimmer type, right? Okay. Broad shoulders, mm-hmm. can move really well, super athletic. He's probably, I don't know how tall he is, but he's probably like, you know, 6 feet tall, uh-huh. you know, and like 175 pounds.
Okay. Yeah, like a 13-year-old Michael Phelps. Think of him like that.
Don't check out. Prepubescent?
By the way, don't check out Eric Holmes' browsing history. No. Okay, so here's the thing.
No, please do not.
Yeah, he's a good fighter. He's much stronger than he looks. He's super agile. He's kind of built a lot like Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
He's a little guy.
That helps, okay.
Little guy. Cool. What are the questions you have?
That was the main one. I'm excited to know. I didn't know Wilson Fisk, the legal name of the Kingpin. I don't know if that's secretive, so we're saying it on there. But I want to know, what is his height and weight? This is a big dude.
I think he's 6'6", like 480.
Yeah, really?
He's not far off. He's a big, massive guy.
Okay. Yeah, he's about 100 pounds less than the average woman I've dated in Canada.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They're sweethearts.
You were stuck in Canada.
Yeah, and they protected me from, like, the wild.
So you're telling me at your immigration hearing, you said you came here because of the woman.
No.
Oh, you're married.
I'm here because the women of Canada supported me, even though they wanted me to stay in Canada. They literally supported me physically. And they said, we'll help you. Because Canadian women are noble and awesome and absolutely fantastic and super cool.
Nice. Didn't know it.
Yeah. I got to be real. All right. With that being said, Eric, enough of the nonsense. Here's your point number one.
Yes. So I would like to give you some updates about Kingpin. Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's in the name Kingpin, okay? He has superhuman strength, unlike his little feller, okay? And durability, and which are all speed advantages, okay? Kingpin has thrown full grown men, I repeat, across rooms, smashed concrete walls with his fists, and like I said before, lifted over 600 pounds with ease, okay? He's taking punches from Spider-Man, a much stronger, bigger person than his little feller, and Daredevil, and kept fighting damage that would instantly end most humans, okay? Spike's strikes, even if skilled, won't do much against someone who's shrugged off Punisher's punches and broken reinforced doors with his bare hands. Literally, I say Kingpin will win by tanking Spike's best hits, closing distance, and ending the fight with one, maybe a massive slam or like a chokehold with like his pinky finger. And all that, James, is my point number one for your little guy.
Interesting. Let me kind of push back a little bit. First of all, according to Marvel Comics, superhuman strength is 801 pounds, right? So if you can press 800 pounds like Captain America can, he's talking about pressing overhead, you are peak human. Daredevil is strong as hell, but he's pressing 600 pounds, which is great, by the way. That's insane, but he's not superhuman, okay? Now, he's also got a lot of muscle there to take that damage and what have you. That's why he's able to tank punches from Spider-Man. Spike Spiegel's fighting style isn't like a Spider-Man style, right? It's more disciplined. He's more like, where are you the weakest or where are you not the strongest? He's very, he's a very strong tactician when it comes to fighting. He's also insanely hard to hit. And he's actually taking on true superhuman beings. Because remember, he comes from a future time. I think it's at least 100 years in the future. Cybernetic beings, genetically manipulated beings. So he's had to take on these superhumans and he's done quite well for himself. All of that is really cool. But again, I can't push back on the other stuff. Kingpin is awesome. One of my favorite characters. Nice. Really cool. By the way, Kingpin would be a great Batman villain. Just putting that out there. All right, let me get to my point number one. I'm going to talk about elite Jeet Kune Do fighting and combat flexibility. Like, one of my very first styles, by the way, in my martial arts journey was JKD. Right, Jeet Kune Do. And this was a cool thing. The great thing about Jeet Kune Do, a lot of people don't understand, they think it's, a lot of people think it's like a series of techniques. And it is, there are definitely techniques to it, but it's really a methodology. It's a way, right? That's why it's called the way of the intercepting fist. It's a methodology where you take in what works for you and kind of get rid of everything else that doesn't work, which means for Eric at 6'5", 220, big, strong guy, his techniques can be very different than, say, someone who's like a Bruce Lee, you know, 5'8", 155, built for speed. But the methodology remains. Whatever works for either Eric or for Bruce Lee, you keep that and disregard the rest.
Okay.
Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, because Spike Spiegel has done that to a mastery level, right? He's tall, he's wiry, so he knows how to use agility. So he's taking on all these techniques where he knows how to use low kicks. He loves kicking people in the knee and breaking kneecaps. By the way, as strong as a Kingpin is, taking on his kneecap, remember, 14 pounds of pressure is what it takes, is needed to take out the average human's kneecap or break their leg, right? Break their knee inwards. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Kingpin's at least, what, 10 times stronger? You know, can kick way harder than 140 pounds worth of pressure towards one spot. That is going to be Spike Spiegel. So he has the ability, if he gets the right shot, the right timing, to actually do a lot of damage to the Kingpin. As fast as Kingpin is, he is insanely slower compared to Spike Spiegel. Now remember, Spike Spiegel is also someone who's a tactician. What he doesn't do is underestimate his opponents. He doesn't look at someone. The Kingpin wears suits because even though he's highly muscular, his suits make him look really fat. And he does that as a method of deception for his physical opponent or his opponent that's about to fight. So they all of a sudden completely underestimate. They're like, well, he's going to be slow. He's blah, blah, blah. If I hit him, he's probably not that strong. Spike Spiegel's not that guy. He's someone who's like, I actually don't know how strong or fast or whatever, but I'm not going to assume you're not strong or you're not fast. Because again, he lives in a world where people are cybernetically enhanced. You can have someone who looks like the Kingpin who moves faster than Usain Bolt. So he doesn't take anything for granted and doesn't underestimate anybody. So think of, you know, Jeet Kune Do evolved for 100 years in the future. And all of a sudden these techniques are designed for someone who's like a Kingpin or way more powerful. And he's got a great track record against them. He's fought mob enforcers, trained hitmen, again, with cybernetic tech or tech from the future. Super enhanced killers. There's one guy called Pierrot Le Fou, which is French, Pierrot Le Fou, which Le Fou means, you know, the fool, but really the crazy, the insane. This guy dressed up like a clown or whatever it was, and he's like cybernetically enhanced, can jump high distances, super durable, super strong, and with the Joker's insanity. So think of the Kingpin with that kind of unpredictability. And yeah, Spike Spiegel beat him. Right? Oh, okay. That is something to take into consideration. Again, fluid dodging, pressure point strikes, precision kicks, outmaneuvering, outthinker, bigger, slower, stronger opponents. In other words, fighting against Kingpin-like people, except way more powerful than Kingpin, mm-hmm. actually way faster. He's got a great track record against those types of people. Kingpin's strong, but Spike is defeated, way bigger, way badder, way faster. That's my point number one.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. All right. You really did upsell Spike Spiegel there. All right. So back to the elaborate Jeet Kune Do mention there. I just want to talk about Kingpin's adaptability to that. Okay. So he isn't just big. He takes hits that will stop any human. Okay. Adaptability won't save Spike. Okay. From raw durability like Kingpin. All right. Also, back to him defeating powerful enemies. Like I said, throwing enhanced enemies doesn't compare to taking on someone who can shrug off Punisher. I'm talking about the Punisher level attacks, okay? Also, fluid dodging and precision strikes, okay? Kingpin's sheer strength lets him absorb hits and ends fights quickly. Dodging only delays the inevitable, okay? Also, using aggression against him. Listen, Spike's counters fail when Kingpin can close distance, and being such a large, strong guy, he'll overpower Spike Spiegel before a single setup strike even lands on him. And those are my thoughts on Spike
Spiegel. Here's the deal. You're not wrong in anything you're saying. Kingpin's definitely, you know, has a history of letting people underestimate him, and even like Spider-Man underestimated him as well.
Yep.
I will say this with the Punisher, and this is going to sound a little arrogant. Mm-hmm. I had this discussion actually this morning with one of my kids, and they said, "Dad, which superhero do you think you could beat in a fight?"
Okay,
and I said, "Huh? Okay, I know who. If they didn't have weapons and it was just person to person, I'd beat the Punisher. I would beat the Punisher. He's taking way more damage than I have. Uh-huh. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I actually think I'm way better trained than the Punisher is. Like, give him a gun or something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, that changes it. But just hand to hand, he tries to go for my eyes. I'm ripping out his throat. I would do that. All I'm trying to say is when people use the Punisher as a benchmark for like, hey, he's even beating the Punisher. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how great that is all I'm trying to say. Even though I'm awesome and I beat the Punisher. And I said it. But here's the deal. I like everything else you're saying. These are good two opponents I'd love to see fight it out for real. But let's see what our judge has to say. So today, we've heard one point from both of us.
Yeah.
Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Well, you know this is actually a good, you know, pound for pound with it, well, ignoring this, the, what, 500 pounds of, not fatness, but muscle.
Yeah.
This is a very close pound for pound. We just have different styles.
Yes.
Like we have the Jeet Kune Do, the JKD, which is Bruce Lee derived. So he was probably the best fighter ever, like a non-enhanced fighter. I think he could take out most people. Then you've got the he beat the Punisher, the Kingpin, who is just raw strength. So it's kind of like an Olympic wrestler sized dude fighting an average Joe on the streets. So is it going to be strength or is it going to be tactics in terms of training? I don't think the Punisher, beating the Punisher, the Kingpin, I don't know if he's trained in fighting, but we do know that Spike Spiegel is. So this is going to be a tough one. I'm envisioning right now this clash.
Let's go.
Okay, so
I love it.
It's a close one. I don't have a favorite yet because I'm seeing some parity. I'm seeing what I would envision as a good first round.
Here we go.
Interesting. This is why we like having you on as a judge, because you're weighing everything together. You're not saying like, oh, well, he's bigger, therefore he wins.
Yeah,
I like how you measure all this stuff and bring it all into consideration. And this battle is about to get way better. I have a funny feeling Eric's going to bring some interesting points. Stay tuned for point number two.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And we're back. Eric, let's see what you got. Here's your point number two.
All right, yeah. So let's get into more of Kingpin's other skills, okay? I want to talk about his brutal grappling and brawling, which will shut down any type of fancy footwork, okay? Kingpin is literally trained in street fighting and grappling, okay? He prefers clinches, bear hugs, and body slams to overwhelm faster foes like Mr. Spike Spiegel there. He's also ragdolled Daredevil and outgrappled enhanced fighters with extreme extreme agility. Spike's movements won't save him in close quarters, okay? One grab is all it takes, all right? Literally, Kingpin can slam Spike into the ground, break his ribs with a punch, or pin him and pound until he's unconscious, all right? Literally, I'm telling you, Spike thrives at range, okay? He thrives at range. But once Kingpin is in your face, the fight is done. It's shut down, which Kingpin is much more quicker than people realize. So all that, James, is my point number two.
You know, I love it, too. And I've actually read a lot of Spider-Man comics when he takes on the Kingpin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kingpin has actually done exceptionally well against Spider-Man. Actually even has some wins against Spider-Man, too, which is really crazy.
Okay.
With that being said, you know I'm a fight fanatic, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I love watching fights, and I love actually, when I watch a fight, you know, a lot of people are very, like verbal, like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm dead quiet, because I'm watching what's happening, I'm analyzing, I'm looking at footwork and everything. And one of the things, when I apply that lens towards these Kingpin fights, there's one type of tactic that seems to, if they're going to get a win, they'll use this, and it's not grappling. It's not submissions. It's not getting in close and trying to grab onto the Kingpin. It's a hit and run style.
Okay.
It's hit, get out of range. Hit, get out of range. Whenever Spider-Man has to really hit him, it's like hit, out, hit, get out. Daredevil, hit, get out, hit, get out. Right? Whenever the Kingpin can grab onto you and you don't have a way to get out, which, by the way, Spike Spiegel has really good anti-grappling or counter-grappling skills as well. And again, doing that against super-powered beings, so I don't get out of their grip, that gives him a lot of advantages when the Kingpin does it. He actually has a fighting style. It's like, it's called MMA math, right?
Okay.
And it's where you have to understand, it's not that everyone has a weakness, it's that everyone has strengths in some aspects of their fighting game that are much higher than others. The Kingpin, if he grabs a hold of you, it's bad, right? Really bad. We can all agree to that. But if you can hit him and get out of there before you get grabbed, or get grabbed, understand how to get out and hit him and keep your distance, you have a great path to victory against the Kingpin if you know where to hit him, how to hit him, and use that speed.
Okay.
We're describing Spike Spiegel's fighting style, by the way. Styles make the fight. And we even said in a previous battle, power hurts, but speed kills. And as fast as Kingpin is, Spike Spiegel is actually a lot faster. Now let me get to my point number two, because all of this is great, but here's the deal. Spike Spiegel is a world-class, actually a galactic-class gunfighter with insane reflexes. And here's the big thing. He's one of the fastest guns in anime, right? He's a quick draw, whatever. He can dodge bullets. He can disarm opponents mid-fight. And he's super precise. He's a marksman beyond belief, right? With future tech, with his guns and what have you. He can shoot precise targets while falling through windows or getting hit and still shooting. This guy is awesome. He draws, aims, and fires with what's called like surgical speed and precision. He's often shooting weapons out of the hands of his opponents because he knows how to target them very quickly. You know, the Kingpin's going to try to do something or use something, he'll like shoot that out of his hand if he feels he needs to, or hit Kingpin. He's a rapid fire genius. He'll hit, he'll double tap, triple tap that trigger, and all of a sudden you're like, like you're disarmed and you're shot. This is something that's crazy. And again, he's using a firearm from the future, which has more ammo. Right? So it's not just like, hey, it's 9 shots, 10 shots, whatever. And in the fight against Mad Pierrot, Pierrot LeFou, the same guy I was talking about before, Spike actually stayed alive, even though this guy was cybernetically enhanced, had seemingly invulnerability, right? And could fly, had explosive weaponry, and Spike Spiegel was able to evade all of that against a flying opponent with super strength, super speed, crazy weaponry, because he knew how to use angles, he knew how to use precision shooting, and he got the win, which is crazy. Look, Kingpin relies on brute force. He's a great fighter. He's faster than you think. He's super strong. But Spike keeps his distance. He goes for the weak points, and he finishes fights before they get close. And that's not including what he can do with that gun fighting mastery. All of that is my point number two.
Okay. So I will give you some credit with Spike Spiegel's gun fighting mastery. Okay. That's basically what that was all about. Okay. But you did agree that if and when Kingpin gets close enough to Spike Spiegel, it's over with. Okay. So what I like to touch on is how Kingpin's going to get close to Spike Spiegel and then absolutely destroy him. I feel that, how big and massive Kingpin is, he will absorb. He'll be able to absorb a lot of that gunfire, okay, through durability, okay? I feel that since Kingpin has literally taken on bullets, knives, and brutal hits from enhanced fighters, much more enhanced than Spike Spiegel. Like I said, like Daredevil, Spider-Man, Punisher with the weapons, okay? I feel that Spike's gunplay might sting, but it won't put Kingpin down quickly enough, which in turn, and his durability will give Kingpin the seconds he needs to advance and get close enough to Spike Spiegel, okay? Also, let's not forget about this. Kingpin, I mean, this guy's from the streets, okay? Rough upbringing, he's been around, had a really rough childhood, he's been out in the streets, alleyways, all that. So Kingpin literally excels at manipulating his surroundings, okay? So I feel him being able to smash through walls, flipping tables, and collapsing cover will limit Spike's, you know, places to dodge and hide while he's trying to fire at Kingpin. So I feel that the cowboy bebop gunslinger you know, will be put into close quarters again with Kingpin, which once he gets him into his close quarters, one grab, you know, it's going to make all of Spike's bullets irrelevant, right? Because literally it's no longer far distance. It's close range now, okay? All the surgical precision talk won't help when you're being slammed into the ground and all the other things they can do. And also, Spike Spiegel's terrain tricks won't stop a mountain of muscle once it closes in on him. So those are my thoughts on your last point there, James.
Interesting stuff because, you know, we're at the turning point.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is where you've heard 2 points from both Eric and myself.
Eureka!
Tell us who you think is ahead in this matchup and what the other side has to do to gain the victory.
Well, let me just first say, we know that Kingpin is a street guy. Give me a little bit of background on Spike Spiegel's childhood or coming up. Did they share? Do we know anything or he just appeared?
He. All we know is from his background is he's got this crazy training.
Okay.
Like evidently something from when he was little, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever it is alluded to, that he has insane, crazy, nonstop training from when he's young to learn how to kill people.
Okay, so we've got 2 rounds. Ding, ding, right? 2 rounds so far. It's 1-1, right? The ring girl voted for Eric. Voted for Eric with the kingpin. Then we got Spike Spiegel. You won that round. So it's kind of it's a dead heat, but the third round, somebody's got to win. And I want to know if it's a knockout blow, a choke, a shot. But it's quite tight right now. You know what I mean? I don't know. It could be the street guy comes out, Kingpin with his gangster vibes. But also training matters. And we know that. Mike Tyson is a prime example that your strength alone can get you beat up and embarrassed, right? And you wake up the next day where I'm at and bankrupt. So
that too, yeah.
You know, that's so let's go see where this is going. But it's round 1 for the Kingpin, round 2 for Spike Spiegel.
All right.
So we're tied up. We got 1 more to go. Championship round, like Ali.
I love it. Round. All right, this battle's about to heat up. Stay tuned for point number 3. And we're back. All right, Eric, is now or never. Here's your point number 3.
All right, so now I would like to get into the criminal genius who controls the environment. Bringing it home. Listen, Kingpin has fought dozens of assassins and hitmen, okay? He doesn't panic or get surprised even when outgunned or ambushed, okay? He often uses the battlefield to his advantage, forcing opponents into choke points, tight hallways, or environments where strength will dominate. Kingpin's strength will dominate his opponent, okay? Once again, he survived more people, I'm going to add, okay? He survived ambushes from Bullseye and Electro, okay? And like I said, he always finds a way to turn a fight into a trap, all right? And a little guy, and a little unexperienced guy, chain smoker, is going to get winded, you know, like a Spike Spiegel, and he's not going to be able to keep up with when his guns aren't effective on him. And then, you know, Kingpin's using his environment, and once it gets close enough to him, I'm telling you, Spike is going to be forced into a confined space. Kingpin will predict his tactics, and at the end, it will be very brutal and overwhelming. And it will be a finisher for Spike Spiegel. And all that, James, is my point number 3.
I appreciate the animation you know, like coming from your body as you're going through all of this, because it's
an exciting, and bacon, baby, in my chair.
It's an exciting battle, because what you just described as Kingpin's tactics are actually kind of the exact same thing that Spike Spiegel does. Mm. He likes to control the environment. He likes to position people without them realizing they're being positioned. And if he has to take a ton of punishment to make the other person get positioned the right way and make them overconfident, he's a master of doing that as well. You know, the Kingpin's durable as can be, but Spike Spiegel's got something a little bit different. Now, from my point number three, here's the deal. When the Kingpin fights opponents, Captain America, Daredevil, Spider-Man, none of them are really trying to kill him.
Okay.
When he does hire, you know, or does have to go up against someone who's got a firearm, whatever, typically they're not doing something that Spike Spiegel loves to do and specializes, which is doing headshots. Right? So he counts on taking body shots. He counts on people going for center mass. Spike Spiegel doesn't do that. He'll shoot your knee out. He'll shoot your elbow, whatever it is, but he's great at shooting the head. That is something he loves to do. He has no problem with killing, by the way, and going there right away, which is really, really cool. On top of that, you know, Spike doesn't really just fight, he hunts, right? If he has to put himself at a seemingly disadvantage after he analyzes his opponent in order to get the win, to bring the guard down, he's going to do it. You know, the Kingpin, if he takes on six assassins, he likes to stage these fights, right? Where he brings in the six top martial artists, the fighters in the world. He's like, great, come at me. And he's, you know, wearing like a bathing suit and trunks and like really weird ninja shoes, whatever. I don't know, it's a weird fetish he's got. Anyway, and he takes them all out and kills them, but they all come at him, right? Trying to take him out because they're paid to do that. And then he like, you know, kills them or hurts them really bad. Yeah, Spike Spiegel doesn't do that. He doesn't just like, kind of goes in and Peter Griffin's his way into it. The way Kingpin wants him to do it. Kingpin tries to bait you. He's a master psychologist, but Spike Spiegel has this fun thing. He doesn't listen to his opponents. He doesn't listen to them. He analyzes and says, got it. How do I position him? What do I have to do to get the win? Do I have to sacrifice part of my body to get up close and shoot him in the head? Done and done. And again, the Kingpin's great, but he's typically fighting humans. He's typically got the size advantage, the durability advantage. He's fighting people that typically don't go for his head, who are just trying to beat him or arrest him or stop him. That's not a Spike Spiegel. Spike Spiegel will automatically realize, I got to kill this dude.
Yeah.
And by the way, Spike Spiegel will see him. He doesn't know who the Kingpin is. He just fought Piero Le Fou. Right? Big, huge guy who can fly, is cybernetically enhanced. He's going to look at the Kingpin and be like, is this guy cybernetically enhanced? Is he genetically enhanced? Yeah. I can't assume he isn't. I got to shoot this guy in the head. Or I've got to take out his knee. Or I've got to hit and run. I don't know. My experience is telling me that there's something up with this big, strong guy who's way more confident than he should be. This is someone who can analyze opponents, size them up, and if he doesn't know what's happening, he doesn't rush in. He's a smart fighter like that. He also does not get close to his opponents if he doesn't have to, which is why he loves using firearms, which means Spike Spiegel has the range attack advantage. He can shoot from afar. He doesn't necessarily have to get up close to get a headshot. And again, he's an expert marksman. Put all that together. As much as I love the Kingpin, because he's awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, he is awesome. And he did a great job repping him. He doesn't have the range attacks. He doesn't have the weaponry. And he counts on opponents underestimating him all the time. None of the stuff that Spike Spiegel would do in this fight. That's my point number three.
So this guy's talking to me as if like I like lost the fight. Nick, good job repping Kingpin like it's over. All right, listen. I've given you the resume of certified opponents that the Kingpin has faced, okay? I'm just going to bring up a tactician who knows how to use some weaponry like the Punisher. You think this little, how do you say, Le Fou? What's the guy? How do you say?
Le Fou.
Le Fou. So the Fool. You think the Fool little Frenchy guy is of the caliber of opponents that can use guns and literally the Kingpin has been able to hang with? And this is the main character that we're talking about that Spike Spiegel went up against. This little Le Fou guy isn't even on the level of the other opponents who do have guns and who have used them on the Kingpin and is easily outsmarted them, outmaneuvered them, and outcornered them and won versus some real certified BADASs for the show, okay? So, back to these finishing, you know, counter arguments. Like I said, he's going to hunt and lure his opponents, okay? He can survive extreme damage, okay? Literally, Kingpin will control the environment. There's literally going to be nowhere for Spike to set up safely, all right? And I can guarantee again that he's never gone up against a person like Kingpin. Spike Spiegel has never encountered a guy that's this big, this strong, this manipulative, etc. Also, lastly, remember, close quarters strength will beat any finesse that Spike Spiegel might try to use. And lastly, I'm going to say Kingpin will end the fight before any of Spike Spiegel's traps will matter. And there you go. There you have it.
Interesting counters. Not sure I agree with all of them, but interesting nonetheless. Let's go to the judge. All right, today we've heard 3 points from both Eric and myself. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will. And tell us who, in your opinion, wins this fight between the Kingpin and Spike Spiegel.
Well, we got 3 rounds, right? Championship round is the exciting one. And, you know, this is how I'm envisioning it. Just let's just say, hop in my mind for a sec. I'm seeing the Kingpin as Butterbee or Butterball. You know the
Butterbean.
The white guy who boxes in shorts.
Yeah, yeah,
I think they're, are they brothers?
You just described half my family, but go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yeah. But I'm not saying all people are just have the belly, but I don't know if they're related, but that's how I'm seeing him, like the bully in high school, right? Then I'm seeing... I'm also seeing Spike Spiegel a little differently. I'm seeing him sleek like John Wick. I'm seeing like a new age Bruce Lee badass. So that's kind of what I've envisioned, right? As I see these tacticians in the ring. So in terms of guns, I know that Kingpin runs the streets. So his thugs or goons or whomever on payroll, probably maybe the cops. We don't want to say anything bad about cops. Maybe the cops. So I think we're going to take guns out of the situation because I don't think Spike Spiegel can be anywhere, because as soon as he goes in town, you know, the thugs and his goonies are going to be everywhere for the Kingpin. So let's get in close quarters and see what we're seeing. This is how I see it playing out. I'm thinking of UFC number one. Do you remember Gracie? Okay.
Always Gracie,
in
sure.
In his gi. We're talking about like DVD days. In his gi.
Always.
And... He's up against these huge guys, and I felt bad for him because he's like my size, and he just tore him apart. So I'm seeing what I think is going to happen. Spike Spiegel is going to lure in the Kingpin with his narrow frame, and the Kingpin's going to grab him, but he's going to have on his gi. He's going to be prepared to spin out of it, put him in a chokehold, because just because you have muscles, that doesn't mean it protects your neck. And from there, he's going to tap him out for the 2 minutes. Usually it takes a minute or two to get conscious before the salts come out. So I'm seeing the battle go like this. Kingpin's going to lure in Spike Spiegel, and he's going to grab him. And at that point, it's going to be frightening. Like, because he's going immediately for the body slam, the kill shot. Like, he wants to indent the concrete with Spike Spiegel, right? But he's not ready. Spiegel's got on his gi, slips out of it. He's going to jump in the air. Right? I'm just seeing this. When you're light, it's a little easier to spring. He got some bounce, right? So he's going to get this bounce, jump in the air, and just slide over that bald, shiny head of Kingpin. Get behind him, a rear naked choke. Whew, those are tough. I've been in one, and I don't remember what happened. Just woke up the next day. So he's going to get in before Kingpin can tap out. He's going to apply the pressure where the gi lock in. And next thing you know, Kingpin's going down. And that 600 pounds that he can lift overhead, he's just going to be unconscious and rendered there for 2 minutes. So in this who would win battle, Spike Spiegel with a rear naked choke on the bald, the strong, and the 600-pound lifting Kingpin.
And there you have it. That is so interesting. Okay, by the way, here's why I love this. First of all, Spike Spiegel is wearing like a jacket.
Okay.
Right, like a sports coat.
Yeah, the mobs.
And what's funny is back in the day, we used to say like, hey, would this work on a sports coat? We figured out how to do chokes on sports coats, which are very similar to gis. We also then figured out how to do it on t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
That kind of stuff. We kind of went there. It wasn't the healthiest thing to do, but we had to figure it out. Uh-huh. And what I love about it, in the original UFCs, one of the things, like the Gracies wore gis, and you think like, well, why don't people wear gis into the UFC anymore? One of their philosophies, and it's just really cool, is they said, well, first of all, if I wear a gi, it mops up the sweat I have, maybe mops up the sweat of my opponents so they're easier to grab, they can't slip out. But also, if they grab my gi, that's one hand that's occupied, that isn't hitting me.
Wow.
Right? So it's kind of a genius observation you made, right? Incredible. Pretty cool. Oh. Right. And the cool part is you can use your jacket. Uh-huh. And what's actually the real cool part is we talked about this in class. When women come into class, mm-hmm. what I tell them, especially when it comes to rear naked choke, I said, hey, a woman typically can do a rear naked choke technically better than a guy.
Interesting.
And the reason why is because their arms are typically smaller and thinner than a guy's arms. So if I try a choke or you try a choke, you've got big arms, mm-hmm. the biceps and everything else is, I know I'm getting the weeds here. It actually kind of might not hit the carotid artery on the neck. It might hit their chin. Uh-huh. Somebody else could block it. And it's like, oh no, like my arms are too big. They can't do it. Women typically, especially if they're going to whatever, typically mm-hmm. don't have that issue. So when, if they get into the right position with a smaller body, their chokes are instant. If they do it the right way. And we're talking about a size difference between maybe 150 to 175 pound guy at 6 feet tall with 6'6", 400 or 6'7", 480 pounds, whatever it is. That same equivalent exists. If he did get in the right position, he could put on a choke, put him out. And if anyone can get in the right position, it's Spike Spiegel. I love where you went with this. This is how much of a fight. You think I'm a comic book nerd. I'm a fight nerd even more so. I love this decision. Hey,
we got to get in the weeds. We got to go in the thicket, right?
That's exactly it. Wow. Listen, I got to tell you, a genius decision that...
Disagree.
I made that into it. All right, so let's figure out. Let's see what on side of the fence Eric is. Eric, do you disagree? I'm kidding. You did a great job. Tell each of the audience how you feel with Tadeo's decision.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were going to go back to UFC 1 and like this Spike Spiegel guy, we have no idea about his background. He just like chain smokes in alleyways with no proper formal real fighting training. yeah, there's no way that he's gonna be able to handle Kingpin like that. But you know what? I like our judge. It was a bit of a colorful. You had to get colorful to beat the Kingpin. Mm-hmm. So I could see how you had to throw all that in there. But you know what? The decision's been made, okay? I fully disagree with it, but here we are. Here we are.
You know, what's interesting, I think Cowboy Bebop came out in the 90s, probably like five years or so after the UFC's first started, which was 1993.
Mm-hmm. Octagon,
so, no, I'm just saying that that could have been an interesting influence, especially with Jeet Kune Do being specifically style-based. All I'm trying to say is I love where you went with this battle. This was very, very cool.
All right.
Yeah, the Legion of audience may have a different opinion, but we'll see what they have to say. That's why I love these fights, because it can, you know, you never know what the judge is going to say. Although I did know what the judge was going to say during this bout, because I'm that good. All right, Tadeo, great job. Please come back and do another episode. In the meantime, tell Legion of audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Well, you can find me online at Cuerpazo. That's right there. We gotta learn how to roll those R's. So I'm gonna teach y'all that another time. You can find me online at Cuerpazo on Instagram. Or in real world, you just go to the west side, go to Beverly Hills, and look for the guy with the smile, the slick hair, and the hot whips and woman. I mean, the hot whips.
And buying food at Erewhon. Something that most people would never do, by the way.
I mean, you need to pull up to Erewhon daily. That's my daily visit.
There you go.
You know, it's not that I can't afford Erewhon. Uh-huh. I can't justify it. Last time I went you know, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to buy a protein shake here. And like, great, $55, please. I'm like... Awesome. I'll never do this again. I'm not saying I'll never go to Erewhon.
Understood.
I'm sure they have great stuff there that's not $55 for one item. Maybe they don't. I don't know.
Well, if you get two items, it's always that price. You're not far off.
So true. All right. Great job. Listen, Eric, great job repping Kingpin. I thought you actually were going to take this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen. Styles matter. Tell Legion of audience or fan base where they can find you online.
Yes. I still feel victorious. I defended you as best as I could, Kingpin. But anyways, yes, you can connect with me on all my socials at the THE Eric with the C Holmes, HOLMES. Let's connect. Let's chat.
Very cool. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavs. You remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcast. On behalf of myself, Eric Holmes, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.